stumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch.
Hour 3 brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com. Become a member. They'll take great care of you. Online banking, app banking, and lobbies are back open as well. It's the official credit union of 3 and Out, the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. They're working hard to make that money. They'll been helping their members grow financially, moving upward and forward with the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union for 86 years right here in East Tennessee. TVACreditUnion.com to become a member. Well, this kind of goes with the whole name and likeness thing that's coming. I mean, in European soccer, they don't have a draft. Like, there's still the haves and the have-nots. Mm-hmm. And the have-nots take more pride in just being surviving with the big boys and winning certain championships that are, like, kind of for the lesser thans. Like, it's kind of cool how that structure is. It's like in the Sunderland thing, for example, they do really well in one of the lower leagues, and they're like playing for the championship of it. Then they're also in a playoff to make it back up to the big league. So that's a whole thing. And then, of course, they didn't even have like the Champions League, where if you are top so many in your table, depending on what country you're in, you go play other countries. Can't really do that with college football, but that's kind of like winning your conference and going to the playoff. I mean, winning a 16-team, like, legit conference championship with the amount of quality teams there would be really cool. It wouldn't be one of these. Well,
yeah, I feel like winning Jim the SEC. McElwain,
it wouldn't be like Jim McElwain backed his way into the SEC East. You know, it wouldn't be like that anymore.
No, winning the whole thing would be.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing though. With the SEC, it already is that to win the whole thing.
Yeah, it kind of is. Because you might get an easy half, but then you're going to have to play somebody that's good in the championship. Or it might be a real struggle. You might get a soft team in the championship, but if so, your half was really tough to get there,
mm-hmm.
which has happened with some of the West teams lately. Used to happen on the East side. So we'll see. What you got any pulse yet on the SEC East this year? Think it's back to – is it swung back to Florida's year to do it? And we can be the spoiler early.
Their schedule seems like it.
Yeah.
They
got Kyle Trask, Kyle Pitts, tight end.
You love Pitts. You love him so much.
He's a baller.
He's all right.
They go away from him, though. That's the thing. Like, you can kind of, if you shut him down for a minute, then they'll quit throwing to him. That's what happened against LSU. They did lose, Van Jefferson. I think they still have some of those receivers around. Is that Kadarius Toney guy still there? I think he is.
Yeah, unless he got kicked off the team.
The best news, though, is that defensive line lost, or the defense in total lost a lot of players, right, for Tennessee. So,
mm-hmm.
God, I'd love to just ruin their season.
Just beat Oklahoma, and then there's no way you lose per Matt.
No way we lose to Florida.
Impossible.
If we beat Oklahoma.
We can dream.
Mm-hmm.
Dreaming's good. It's good to have goals.
I mean, I feel like out of all the – I mean, everybody's going to pick Georgia or Florida, I feel like, at SEC Media Days, but I feel like this will be the first year in a while that no other team will even be considered except – and the one you'd have to pick if you go to one would be Tennessee. I don't think anyone's going, I think Kentucky can do it this year.
I think it was Braden Gall – yesterday tweeted out, if you're looking for this year's LSU, Georgia, transfer quarterback, new offense, really good defense, five-star roster. But do people forget that Joe Burrow in his first year at LSU was not that good?
I don't forget that.
And that Jamie Newman will only have 1 year?
I don't forget that because I felt like an idiot. Because Burrow, after his first year, I was like, yeah, I mean, he's – We ranked SEC quarterbacks, much to your chagrin, and I remember you said something about Burrow, and I went, I don't even think he's that good. I think he's just kind of a game manager type, and then
he blew
transformation.
Up.
Yeah,
I just think it takes time, right? Like you got to go through spring practice. Jamie Newman didn't get that. You got to have a year under your belt under an offensive. I mean, because not only does Jamie Newman have to, the whole team's going to be learning a lot of new offense. I mean, I don't even. Who did they bring in again? They got rid of Coley, or did they demote Coley?
Demoted, I think. I don't know who they brought in, because South Carolina they hired got Bobo.
Oh, that's right. They got Munkin, because we were looking at him.
I do think Jamie Newman's a pretty good quarterback, but like, I don't think it's going to be a disaster. But I don't think he's going to like be Joe Burrow and win the Heisman and take them to the national championship either. I could eat those words, I guess. But I mean, I watched him shred NC State, I think. I think it was Wake Forest, NC State. And he just torched them. But it was, he did it on a bunch of slow developing, like mesh type plays. And like, I don't think, even with Georgia's superior offensive line, I think the speed of the game is just faster than the SEC. And your defensive linemen, your defensive line players are just so much more athletic. I don't think the game's going to be that slow. And after this weird offseason where you're not going to be able to, you know, fire with live bullets very often, talking about practice and
good
stuff,
point.
Like, I just think it could be a tough transition. And they get Alabama pretty early, right? And they're like week 4, 5, Georgia, Alabama.
So, starting in November of last year, Jamie Newman completed 52% of his passes, 9 touchdowns, 6 picks, and he was sacked 14 times.
Once they started playing real teams. Because I think that's when they had to play somebody good.
I don't know.
They'll say it's because he got hurt. He got banged up.
He was apparently banged up and missed a receiver or two as well to injury.
Hmm. Oh, Sage Surratt, maybe? He's supposed to be really good for them.
Who?
6'3", 210. Sage Surratt. I think he's Wake Forest's star receiver.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I guess I'm – look, who was the best first-year quarterback transfer? That was Fields' first year at Ohio State, wasn't it, this past season? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the transfer guys have been a whole lot better than they used to be. Definitely. Picking up a new system this offseason feels tough, right?
It also feels like Ohio State's schedule was really easy early.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of got to ease into being...
Although he was incredible. They scored like every possession.
No, I know. So I'm just... Yeah,
what was that one line? Remember, I was like, there's no way they cover this. They had about like halftime. It was like against Maryland. It was like, the line's minus 59 for Ohio State. And I was like, oh, it's way too big.
Well, I was watching them against FAU and the speed. I mean, I could have made those throws because guys are running 10 yards open.
Yeah.
And I mean, Georgia gets Bama in week 2, week 3.
I think it's 4 or 5, but yeah, it's early.
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, if he's been banged up, I'm not calling him injury prone or anything like that, but it seems like that might be a pretty tough gig to get through the season if he's going to run around a lot.
Yeah, against Florida State, the Surratt guy had 7 catches for 170 yards. Pretty good.
Well, I mean,
they played Louisville. He had 12 for 196 and 3 touchdowns, and they lost.
That's week 3, Alabama.
Week 3?
Mm-hmm. They get Virginia, East Tennessee State, and
the
then at Alabama.
The week we have Furman?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Then they get Louisiana Monroe, Vandy, Auburn, Missouri, Florida, South Carolina, Tennessee. The bye week is after Missouri, before Florida, South Carolina, Tennessee. Might be catching at a really good time. Their defense is going to be good. It's always good. It'll probably always be good under Smart. I guess I'm not sold on Newman or Munkin with a first-year quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you don't get to ease into the schedule. Like,
you don't have an all season.
Yeah, and that's... That goes without saying. But I feel like if you had, you know, an easy backloaded schedule, but Newman could kind of get comfortable, you might be okay. But your first road game is game 3 at Alabama. Yeah. Sorry.
I mean, I guess if you can just survive that one and lose it and then get right the rest of the way.
Yeah.
They still got to play Auburn. Tennessee late.
Mm-hmm. Schedule change.
Florida, they'd have, you know, got to beat the Gators to get to Atlanta. I mean, they could lose the Alabama game, and if they win all the rest of the games, they'll make the playoff, no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even if they lose the SEC championship game, although that'd be touch and go. They might finish fifth again. That'd be great.
I'd take it.
Yeah.
Well, I'd prefer them to finish way down.
Right.
But if they miss the playoff again, yeah, I'd be okay with that. Yeah. Yeah. Kirby's going to do it to himself. We know this.
Always does.
Let's schedule Clemson.
He had Justin Fields on the roster.
Well, yeah, he ran that fake punt. Tried to keep him happy.
Jeez Louise. Genius.
He's just not a very intelligent person.
You hate to see it. Yeah. We'll come back with more. Davey's working on his...
I got my top 64.
All right. We'll have to get that by the end of the show. Stick with us right here. Hour three rolls on. Three and out. Hour three rolls on live from the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. Don't forget Crown Cleaners, proud sponsor of Starch Madness. They were going to sponsor our March Madness, but you know how that went down. So we got Starch Madness right now. Go to fanrunradio.com. Get the coupon, fourth shirt, absolutely free, over and over and over, as many times as you want. And it's a great deal. Got word yesterday. A lot of people have been taking advantage of it.
Good.
Crown Cleaners. One of our local businesses here, locally owned and operated. Knoxville brand, Knoxville group. Hit them up for all your dry cleaning and just laundry needs.
Laundering.
Either one of those work, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Not all laundering.
Clothes laundering.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's Crown Cleaners, proud sponsors of Starch Madness. Go to fanrunradio.com, download the coupon. Or just click on it, I guess. You probably do that from your phone right there at the counter, I would think. Easy. No need to print anything or anything. Just show it to them. They got you covered. It's Crown Cleaners, official sponsor of Starch Madness, Fan Run Radio. So, Davey, you got a setup over there? You ready to go? Give me the SEC. Let's just start with... 16-team SEC, just power, the power of all powers.
Okay. So for the SEC, everything don't stays as so normal.
Seriously.
Hold on, just give me a second. All right, I'm just going to read it off. I haven't broke it down into divisions within the conference.
Okay.
It's just 16 SEC teams.
You can just give us the four you added. I think we got the other.
I only added two.
Well, give us the two. We got the 14.
West Virginia and Baylor.
All right.
I like that.
And we have to keep Vanderbilt?
Yeah.
No.
You want an easy win on the schedule, even though it's not been easy recently.
Well, that might get relevant.
It was easy this year.
Okay.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. We killed him. Eric Gray ran all over the place.
Like a two-score game.
I mean, they scored late to, like, make it look close.
Sorry. I mean, I'm just thinking back to, like, I think one of my first games in Tennessee, like, Tennessee beat Vanderbilt 50-0 or something like that. Mm. So this...
Yeah.
It's a rain game. Any win in a downpour is a good win. I will die on that hill. We won 28-10.
Okay. So it's three scores.
Okay. Yeah,
that's good. Easy win.
Then I will go with the ACC just because it's fairly simple what I did. For basketball, the ACC has 15 teams. They just have 14 in football. They add Notre Dame for basketball, so I just added Notre Dame into the ACC. And then I took Maryland out of what was the – Big 12 mm-hmm. or the Big mm-hmm. 10, and Big 10. I added Maryland back to the ACC, which
like
is
that.
Where they used to be.
I like that.
Yeah, all right.
I mean, they only went 1-8 in the Big 10 this past year in football, so.
Hmm.
That's kind of tough.
Yeah. So the only team that got bumped out of the Power 5 was Rutgers.
Okay.
Which really works when you look at it because they were – 0-9 in conference.
Top five higher.
I think they
all
were the
time, I think.
Only team in the Power 5 this past football season to not win a conference game.
Yeah, 0-9, 2-10 overall. Okay, so Rutgers is out. So the Big 16.
Oh, sorry. Arkansas also did not win in it.
Okay. Game. So but, the Big 16.
So the Big 16 consists of what was the Big 12. Sorry. Nope. Let me back
what was
up.
The Big 10?
What was the Big 10?
Mm-hmm.
And they added, they lost Maryland, but they added Iowa State, Kansas and TCU.
Kansas State, TCU, and
Iowa State.
Wait, you've got Iowa and Iowa State. Oh, yeah, now okay. Yeah, yeah, sorry.
Because Iowa State's Big
12.
Right,
so now the Iowa State and Iowa are in the same conference.
Correct.
Which makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we got so, the two Kansas schools.
Yeah, I took the most
northern
ones outside of TCU.
Yeah.
Which I didn't, due to rivalries, I wanted to keep some of the other schools
right.
together.
Okay. Okay, so, I like it.
So then in the Pac-16, it's just the normal Pac-12,
mm-hmm.
but I added Texas Tech, Texas, Oklahoma, and Oklahoma State.
That would make that a lot better. Oregon-Oklahoma conference game? I'm all in.
I'd watch that every year.
Yeah.
And so that is the top 64 FBS teams for relegation each year. The bottom two teams in each of the four divisions or conferences is bumped to the next group out, which I have not – I started on it, but I don't like it, so I'm not going to list those off, but it would
– But basically, that gives the chance – that gives, like, Houston's App State Mountaineers a chance to take a spot.
Yeah, I was going to take 24 teams – I know mm-hmm. you mentioned 32, but it make it 80 teams for the top five, really. But then of those 24 in the next group out, that next conference, which I haven't named yet, the top eight would then move into the Power Four the next year. And
so they could basically have a playoff structure in that league where they're playing for the championship of the league, but the ones that make the round of eight in the playoffs – are the ones that move up.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you want to talk about some stakes in a League One, quarterfinal matchup or a semi or a round of 16. That'd be crazy.
And what I was going to do was, so whenever we have conference championship week, which obviously, like you know, the East versus West, what I was going to do was the bottom four teams in each
the Power 64 group. Yeah,
yeah, they would battle it out
to not get relegated.
To not get relegated.
Mm.
Yeah, that'd be good. Like one versus four, as in like the four is the absolute worst one.
Yeah, so
one
13 versus 16 and 14 versus 15.
That'd be stakes too. Late, they'd give you something to watch late in the year when you've had a really bad year. I mean, you kind of be hate watching it, but can you imagine the voluntary action where we snuck by to remain in the SEC? People be so mad. They'd be happy you won, but so mad the season's been bad.
When would you play that?
He said championship week. So you'd have the championship games.
I would move the championship game like
back a week.
I don't know. I don't like playing at 3:30. I would have that game be at like 8 o'clock, and then you have a game at like noon, and then one at 3:30.
So it'd be like an SEC triple header.
SEC Network noon game. Just here's the junk.
Yep. Arkansas and Ole Miss to see who has to go down. The nerves, man. It'd be incredible. It really would be.
I would get rid of permanent rivalries, and so it's like we're not having to play Alabama every year.
Just go like a round.
It's 16 teams, man. You flip through it. I would even get rid of divisions just because that just makes it
and just
more
go
difficult.
top two are your champions?
Well, honestly, what I would do, and I've suggested this beforehand just because I want more football, and I'm fine with lowering the amount of games played in the regular season to get this because you're still going to have teams play as far as a
4-team playoff for the SEC
playoff.
Champion?
Yeah, 4-team. So you would have 1 versus 4 and 2 versus 3, and then the winner of those two games would then play the next week for to win the SEC. And what I would do is I would still just keep the 4-team playoff, and the top team from each division made it. And then you would – or the top team from each conference, whoever won the conference championship, would then be in the playoff, and you would still have the people just determine who's 1 through 4 based off the 4 conferences.
Yeah, that'd work.
Fixed it.
Teams that could get in the next year, like the Boise States of the world, be chomping.
Yeah, like I have them, like BYU,
champing,
Army, Navy.
At the bit.
All chomping. In the next group.
To make the playoffs.
Champing. You got it.
to try to come up in relegation. But I haven't worked with the bottom, what would be, I guess.
Wouldn't that help the next tier teams maybe keep their coaches a little bit better? Like, if I got Boise State and I know I got a great team that can probably win and then move up, I'd be more likely to stay there than thinking, well, I'll never win a championship at Boise State. Mm-hmm. I might as well just go ahead and take a bigger job.
But, like, I wouldn't have teams play down to where, like, Tennessee wouldn't be playing Southern Miss, who would be in, like, the next
sure.
group. And
yeah.
what I would
that
do
That would
is,
never happen?
No.
Okay.
I understand, like, right now that's not feasible because those schools rely on the big checks from
well,
the SEC.
You might could do it where it's like a cup thing, like it's like a separate deal, mm-hmm. you know, where like you get matched up with certain teams that finish at a certain spot, kind of like an SEC Big
Actually,
12 challenge type
what
thing.
I would do is I would have two games in the spring and you could play those teams just to kind of
that's what
it's just a friendly
I've wanted that forever. Yeah. It's like let the spring game be an actual game against a team that, you know, a big boy welcomes in a little fella, but you get a real game.
It's just a friendly. Nothing happens if you lose. Outside of bragging rights, it could hurt for recruiting, but it's a good opportunity to get recruits on campus
mm-hmm.
to actually see a game atmosphere that's not necessarily during the season.
What if what if football went to a double season that all counted, though? What if you played like 8 games in the fall and 8 more in the spring, and it was all one season?
I'm always down for more football.
I would just hate the break.
Like, but then you have basketball in the break.
That's true.
So, like, the spring sports in college are kind of like, okay, no more college sports. I'm not really, let me know if the baseball team's good.
And that does break it up in a way to where you're like, the student-athlete, giving them the break.
I love football, and normally I'd be like, the more football, the better. As far as half the season being in the fall and half in the spring, I wouldn't necessarily like that. I would, as I've said numerous times on the show, have college basketball, the NBA, NHL – all those teams that play in the winter, they don't start a game until after Christmas.
What if you did the full season kind of like you've mapped out there in the fall, but then in the spring, instead of those being friendly, that's when you have your like toilet bowl matchups for relegation, plus wherever you finish in certain standings, you play against other teams to establish some type of seeding for the next season. So it's not
It'll
nothing.
Determine schedule?
Maybe, yeah. Nothing major's on the line, but there is something on the line, so it makes those games interesting.
I mean, that's
kind of
how
friendly.
The NFL does it whenever it relates to some of the – you obviously play each team in your division twice each year. You play another division, each team in your own conference. So like Tennessee, the Titans this year, they're playing the AFC North, and then they're also playing the NFC North. But then there's that other game to where it's like, all right, so the Titans last year finished second in the AFC South, so they're going to play the team that finished second in the AFC East.
Yeah.
You could do that.
I mean, wouldn't football players prefer to play a few more games but more spread out, and that way there's more to look forward to? Like if you're training in January, wouldn't it be cool if you had a real game coming up in March that actually mattered? Or is it just too much?
I don't know. I mean, it doesn't really give them the break like they're used to, but it'd be two smaller halves. So I don't know. There is something about the fall, though, being the, mm-hmm. you start late summer and then everything just kind of culminates with, New Year's-ish conclusion.
Why don't we just have like where you can kind of have the option to flip your roster around, and it's basically an off season where you have the first – it's a shorter season, but you have like an 8-game season at the very beginning, and then it ends before the new year. Then you have a little bit of a break to do some roster turnover. Kids want to transfer, do whatever you want, and then you just have another short 8-game season.
I'd hate that. I'd hate that. Like you're 7-1. Do they count together or separate seasons?
Separate. Everything's separate.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he was saying you go ahead and have championships, everything.
I'm just saying, like, what if you're on a pretty good team, you go 6-2, and then you're like, oh, but they're 8-0. I'm transferring over there. I'm winning the spring championship. I don't know if I'd like that. I think you need the break.
Yeah, it's fun to think about. We'll come back with more. Stick with us right here. It's Hour 3, Thursday edition, 3-0. if you want to get really crazy and you like European soccer, just go with a 15-game schedule over fall and spring. Complete round robin. Play everybody once. Whoever wins the standings, hoist one trophy, and you play the playoff games based on seedings from the previous year throughout the season. So you got big games just coming at you at all points. And you can play friendlies against the other lower teams, like two of those too. There you go.
Fixed it.
That would be the best way to do it, but no one will admit it, probably. That's okay. People like
it. It's not our idea, so we don't like it.
People like the way it is. I know.
I do.
Although I do hate the really bad non-conference games.
I mean, I do, but then I hate that we have to go to Oklahoma in week two.
I know. Can we welcome Rutgers? Like, that's...
Well, I hate it now. Like, if we were 2 years from now, I probably won't care. But coming off what we have been coming off of and then getting Oklahoma on the road just seems a little... A little slap in the face.
Somebody said Fulmer should have bought out of that series as soon as he took the job. Do you agree with that take?
No, because I don't like if you buy out of UConn. Okay, if you buy out of Oklahoma, makes you look like a coward. Like it makes the program seem weak. Like they would just use that against you in recruiting. Urban did that with he bought out of a Tennessee game, didn't he? Didn't Tennessee and Ohio State have a game or a series scheduled, and Urban got there and he's like, I just don't want to play any SEC teams. I think Michigan did that to somebody too. I just don't think it's just not a good idea. And I guess, I don't know. I mean, I'm optimistic about this season, so I guess there's a chance you could go into Oklahoma and pull some magic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you can't win a game you're not supposed to if you don't ever play one.
It's true. And I guess that's kind of the next step, right, is winning a couple of those that, Tennessee's
What's
probably.
What's Pruitt got, one so far? The Auburn game?
I mean... You were underdogs in like three of the ones you won last year. But
they were close.
No, though. I know. I think you got to win one
of
those.
You were underdogs because you lost to Georgia State.
Right, yeah. I think you got to win one of those, where you're a 10-plus point underdog.
Yeah, like would you count Missouri as like a big winner or any of that?
No.
That's what I thought.
No, I mean, no, it was a good win, but no, that's not like a
no, the Auburn tier. If you'd played the way you're supposed to against Georgia State and BYU, you wouldn't
your
have been
your favorite over
underdog.
All those teams.
Yeah. So I'm fine being winning a game where you're a 3 or 4 point underdog if it's a really big game. I mean, that would be cool. Like let's say you beat Oklahoma. So and then Florida has looked impressive and they're coming in here and you're a 3.5 point dog at home against Florida.
That would still feel like a big win.
And both teams are supposed to be really good. It's like wow, both these teams have looked great.
Regardless of the line, I think Florida's a big win.
Like, I agree.
If we're plus 59 or minus 59. Just beat Florida.
Just beat Florida.
That's a good point by you, Will. Got to admit.
Yeah, certain teams carry a different big game. Like, throw the lines out, really.
Throw the records out the window, as they say.
Yeah. Right.
LSU balled out of a home-and-home versus NC State.
To me, that's what I was saying about UConn. Like, that doesn't feel like a coward move. That just feels like we could get a better opponent both ways here and make more money, go to a neutral site game or something. That doesn't feel like, oh, we're ducking NC State. Okay. Maybe that's just me.
I think it is just you.
Really?
I'd have just... Yeah, so what? We ducked Oklahoma. We're trying to get back. Call us back in a couple years. Then follow me.
I don't know. I'm kind of... But at least you get the return trip in 23, right, with Oklahoma?
I guess, yeah, whenever it is.
Or 22, maybe?
Feeling good about that one. I think we'll be right then.
I mean, I don't know, but at least it's a home and home.
Davey, wait, what year is it?
The Oklahoma game?
2020.
No, the next one.
I think it's 2024.
Does that mean Caleb Williams will be playing quarterback?
Do you want to explain the inside joke that you're...
Caleb Williams is the number one quarterback for the 2021 class, I guess. So anyway,
2024.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
We're running it back.
2024.
Yeah, on the schedule so far after 2020, which we've seen that schedule. But for 2021, you have Bowling Green, Pitt, and South Alabama scheduled. Those games are all at home.
There you go.
In 2022,
now we're talking.
Hosting Ball State and Army, you're playing at Pitt.
Sweet.
2023, you're playing at BYU. BYU, hosting UConn.
These are all easy schedules.
Oh, we are hosting UConn? Oh, yeah, that's right. We got them back on somewhere.
2024, you're hosting Oklahoma. 2026, you're at Nebraska. And 2027, you're hosting Nebraska.
2026 is at Nebraska?
Yeah. And that's all the future schedule games at the moment.
So Caleb Williams is a 2021 quarterback out of Washington, D.C. He's the number one quarterback in the class, number four player overall. And right now, he hasn't picked his school yet. His final three are LSU, Oklahoma, and Maryland. But all the experts have a 10 out of 10 lock that he's going to go to Oklahoma. And that would make him – would that make him a junior in 2024? That'd just be great.
A little bit of breaking news. Pass interference review in the NFL, dead.
Already?
Yeah. Yep.
It was so bad.
No one liked
they
that.
Already admitted they botched it to where there was no point in bringing it back.
Which is really
amazing. The refs killed it.
Yeah.
By not doing it. Yeah.
Like they
kind of refused.
Which we kind of should have known. Like, officials don't normally like to admit when they're wrong.
They do it for other things. They just only do it for a judgment.
Exactly.
Does anybody like to admit when they're wrong, though?
No.
I feel like a lawyer never, like, gets a guilty one. It's like, oh, my fault. Like, no charge.
No.
Is this where I should rant on the Democratic?
No. Okay. Well, we got a little break. We probably do need to do the COVID-19 update.
Yeah, that's good.
There's some data.
Talk about not admitting when you're wrong.
Look at how great we did. Yeah, we're worse than everybody else, but look at how great we're doing.
We'll come back with that next.
Mm.
Final segment of the program. It's time for your daily COVID-19 update right here on 3 and Out. Scrolling the Glenn Jacobs thread, he tweeted an article from finance.yahoo.com. Another 2.1 million Americans filed unemployment last week. So we're now at 40 million in the last 10 weeks. So that's great. Knox County has 48 active cases. 48.
Mm-hmm.
So that's up a little bit, but I mean nothing crazy, obviously. 2 in the hospital and 5 deaths. The 5 deaths have been, whatever, a month ago, right? At least.
Mm-hmm. I believe so.
So that's your Knox County COVID-19 update. In the United States yesterday, 20,546 new daily cases. That's a pretty low number. Anything under 20,000 is really low. And that makes 4 consecutive days right at 20,000. The last time we had a big day was May the 21st. So a week ago we had 28,000. And then it seems like there's about one day a week where it kind of pops up again and then starts going back down. And that may just be with the reporting cycle.
Sure.
You know? But if you kind of map the trend, we've been on a decline, really been on a decline probably since April the 4th. Well, I'd say from April 4th to May 1st, so basically the month of April has been the plateau, and now the month of May has been a decrease. The absolute peak for the United States of America was April the 24th. So we're about a month past that, and we're much lower. That was 39,000. So we got about half as many cases as we did a month ago. So if we can stay on that trajectory in another month, we'll be down at like 10,000 for July 1st, and then by August 1st, that puts 5,000. Then at, you know, football, we'd be like 2,000 cases, 2,500 cases a day, new ones in the whole country. feel like that would be put the fans in there. Of course, it could, you know, level off at a slower rate than that. I'm not going to assume a rate's going to continue like the morons that modeled this crap that have us stuck in the situation where 40 million of us don't have a damn job. So what we got a request. Somebody wanted me to discuss the latest graph put out by
Pew Research Center.
I remember the graph, but can you tell me what the numbers were on the start of it? Do you have it there? The
So it's the average number of newly reported deaths in congressional districts represented by, and it's a 7-day rolling average, but basically Republican districts versus Democratic districts.
Read the tweet first.
One moment. COVID-19 deaths have declined in Democratic congressional districts since mid-April, but have remained relatively steady in districts controlled by Republicans.
Oh, well, color me shocked. So the Democrats have done a lot better at decreasing COVID-19 deaths.
No.
That must be why Newsom's doing the mask thing, and we got Oregon lady saying no football, and Cuomo, I mean, he's sending those nursing home patients right in there to die, but that must be saving lives somewhere else, right? Not exactly?
No.
Oh, wait, so the Democrat COVID deaths were way higher than the Republicans to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So now that they're going down...
Right.
They're getting credit for that.
And, well, they're going down at a faster rate.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Because, as you said, this is not a never-ending, always-increasing thing. And naturally, if you have more deaths and the virus disappears, your numbers are going to go down a lot faster.
You said Pew Research Center, right?
Pew Research, yeah.
Their bio says nonpartisan... non-advocacy data.
I mean, I guess if you're just looking at the data, you can make that headline true. So here we go. April 16th, Democratic districts reached a peak average of 7.4 deaths. I guess daily? Per district.
Per district.
Yeah.
Okay.
They are now down to 4.1 deaths.
All right, so they've almost cut it in half. That's great news.
Mm-hmm.
And the Republicans have not done anything good.
And that peaked on April 16th.
Uh-huh.
Republican districts peaked May 6th at 2.
Wait, what?
Deaths.
So the Republican deaths are half what the Democratic deaths are getting credit for?
So the Republican peak... Mm-hmm. is less than half of the current Democratic deaths.
So
Republicans peaked May 6th. We're now down to 1.7 for the Republicans.
Much better to be in a Republican
and we're down
district.
To 4.1 okay, for the Democrats.
Yeah. So the Democrats are getting credit for lowering a rate that they.
This is just per.
Right.
Pew
Research Center, a nonpartisan thing. Yeah, data-driven.
That's why I've tried to say we, just as humans, and we Democrat, we all districts, we Republican.
Tweet a lot. I finally found it.
The all district average was the peak of April 25th at 4.9, and the all district average right now is at 3.
You know, it's funny that that Israeli professor that said about 40 days it'll peak. I believe April 24th was 40 days.
Man, that guy was kind of a wizard.
Kind of on it. So they're in Republican districts. The peak has been less than half the average of all districts.
Well, this is deaths.
Deaths.
But yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Yes. Deaths.
So,
deaths.
So basically what you're saying is a Democratic district is kind of like a golfer who on the front nine swings like 100 shots just to get as many strokes as possible, and then the back nine just steadily keeps lowering the number of strokes it takes him just so you can see how many strokes he's losing per hit.
Yeah. It's
like a guy sandbagging for all year, scoring awful scores so he can put in and get a, you know, plus 20 handicap, and then he shoots 5 over and wins the tournament because he's net 15
right.
under.
Right. Okay, so it's like a football team who tanks and then wins like four games at the very end just so they don't get a good draft pick but can still say they made progress.
The Atlanta exactly. Falcons this past year.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Nailed it. Absolutely.
I don't care
it.
What side of the aisle you're on. That is some of the trickiest number reporting I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, we even talked during the break. I mean, there's reasons why the Democrat districts would have higher numbers with population density and all that kind of stuff. We understand the nuances. But to present it like, we're doing better than you.
Well, they're nonpartisan.
Right. That's kind of interesting. We'll be back tomorrow. The Blitz will be up next. Keep it locked in for more Fan Run Radio.